go out and make a better lifestyle and better living for themselves and their families.
A longtime member of the Bartlesville Fire Department has announced his retirement after 35 years of service. It was announced Friday evening that Bartlesville Fire Department Training and Public Information Officer Bill Hollander has decided to hang up his hat and end his tenure with the department. Hollander said the best part of his time with the Bartlesville Fire Department had to be his service to the public. News on the air, on the web, on your app, and on Alexa. I'm Tom Davis. Good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program, right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Time now for the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Tom Davis. Our expert, Larry Glass, is in today. How you doing there, young man?
Say, Tom, thanks for the fog. Woo. I had to roll my way over here.
Yeah. Remember, we just reported we don't make it.
I rolled down the windows of the old truck, yeah. And got my shovel out, and just
started shoveling fog. Wow, my goodness sakes. That must have been a chore.
It was.
Yeah. And this is a guy who breaks shovels every week. I don't think he broke it on the fog, though.
Nope, not really.
I don't think so.
Did you break any shovels this week?
Actually, we did do some shovel work Friday. The ground got thawed out enough.
Let me ask something.
Where we can actually...
Do we consider that one a zinger?
Yes.
That was a zinger.
That was a zinger, yeah.
He'd been promising a zinger ever since October.
Promising it for... The last one was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you. 10 years ago, though, when that one, it was much drier, wasn't it?
It was very dry last time. We did have some snow, though, before that happened.
I know, but it didn't really get down in the ground like it should.
It did your Fritinias and your Raphaelepis.
You mean this one?
Your Indian Hop, no, the previous one.
In 11.
Yeah, it did save the root systems. Now, this year, we're probably going to have a bit more dieback down to the ground.
Why?
Because there wasn't a whole lot of snow associated with this one.
Mm-hmm. What about my live oaks?
Well,
are they going to look like pipe cleaners again?
I guess so.
Oh, my.
They were doing so good, Larry.
Plus some water oaks. They'll make it.
No. Nope.
They're almost like it.
They don't, almost. They're not the same.
I know it's not the same.
They're not as rough.
You don't get Spanish moss on a water oak, I guess. But anyway.
Go down there to southeast Georgia and you look at those live oaks. They're just magnificent.
They are.
Oh, yeah. And South Carolina.
They're just magnificent.
Beautiful things, you bet.
And the way those limbs swoop down.
Well, one of those trees can be an entire city block.
I know.
They're huge.
But mine have done very well. We'll see what happens. We really won't know till about May or June, will we?
Right. What you need to do is buy some heat tape.
Actually, I got to tell you, last fall, I piled mulch way up over them.
Yeah.
I piled a bunch of mulch around them. We'll see.
I thought that was a hill of hay, actually.
Nope. And,
what is that in Kevin Jar?
But I got to tell you, what are those hawthorns?
The Indian hawthorns.
The pink flowers in the spring. They're just beautiful.
They're really nice, well-behaved plants. Beautiful foliage, nice flowers on them.
But how are they going to react?
I think they'll do all right. It was cold. It was consistently cold. And there was adequate moisture in the ground.
We had lots of moisture.
And I think that saved a lot of people's irrigation systems as well, having moisture in the ground.
I think my live oaks, they were wet. It was wet down there.
Yeah, it was always wet. You walk around.
Well, I understand, but I think they were wet, so I'm anxious to see that. And magnolias. The last time, it got some magnolias. But this one doesn't look like it did it to the magnolias.
The leaves are going to be damaged on the magnolias, but the foliage and the stems, I think, will be all right. Because there was adequate moisture.
Okay.
The one we had 100 years ago, it was really quite dry when it got done.
10 years ago, I remember. It was.
It seems like 100 years.
But what happened before, if you remember the last time, we would have it for 2 or 3 days and it'd warm up. Then we'd get another bad one. And then that last one finally got us that and know what, it was 27 below. Remember that?
Oh, geez, I remember that.
But it kept going up and down. This one just stayed cold.
It just stayed cold. Yeah. Well, it's over with. Yay.
It's
here
over.
Comes,
and
here
today,
comes spring. Yes.
Today, I'm going to get my equipment out. I'm going to get some equipment out, and I'm going to cut the...
Glad he lives in the country.
I'm going to get some equipment out, and I'm going to cut all that monkey grass off.
Yeah.
And the big grasses, what do we call them?
The ornamental grasses.
I'm going to chop them off.
Your maiden grasses and things.
Yeah,
yes.
I'll chop all that stuff off. Or else I'll just light a match on it and burn them.
Well, I guess.
Either way.
It won't light today.
Either way.
Maybe this afternoon. Maybe it'll get dry enough to light them up.
And if the wind blows enough, it'll...
Yeah.
I could do that. But I'll chop that stuff off. And I don't... Because it looks like the next 10 days is...
Yeah, I'm going to attack my dwarf yellow pines, I think, today. I always cut them back really low every year. Mm. Just straight across the top. Don't make little balls out of them. Just cut them flat.
The dwarf yellow pines.
Dwarf yellow pine hollies.
Just chop them off.
Just chop them flat. About this tall. They might look like...
Show them, Larry, on that microphone how tall.
Like that.
For you with
like
color
that.
Sets.
Yeah, and it'll look like an upturned hand, I guess, if you will. Mm-hmm.
What about
they'll
the,
come out again.
What about the Nandinas? Can I chop them?
Yeah, the Nandinas, you're going to have to cut them back really low. Some people's dwarf Nandinas seem like they're relatively unaffected.
Is today I can start chopping them down today?
Yeah, at my house, too. Some of the dwarf Nandinas are fine. The ones in the front yard that were in the sun look better than the ones that were in the shade. And the ones at the nursery that are 40 years old. We have some around the mailbox.
So the ones
we've had since the 70s.
All these things that were on the
they're doing fine.
On the south side of the house, it seems like some things do better than on the north side.
True. We have a bit more sunshine on the south side, and the winds on this particular cold spell were out of the north. That plays a big part in it, too.
Okay, the hollies that I've got, they just grow straight up. What are those called?
Holly.
Yeah.
Arborvitaes.
Not the arborvitaes, but the my arborvitaes do not look good.
No, they don't look good anywhere.
They're kind of brownish.
Hollies.
Okay, you know the tall, skinny...
Fosters, maybe?
No. They're bushes. Tall, skinny ones.
Okay.
Tall, skinny. They grow really...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Come on, Larry.
Yopan holly that does that.
Yes.
And there's a Japanese holly, the sky pencil holly.
That's it, the sky pencil.
Yeah.
The pencil.
They're hardy way up north.
But they look brown.
Well, they'll come out again.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Yopan hollies, though, they're going to be cut, set back a little bit.
I got some, Larry. I think I'm just going to tie a chain on them and pull them out.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'll be listening for that.
So I'll come out and put some new ones in.
Yeah. Yeah, the Yopan hollies took a little bit of a hit, too. The dwarf Yopans. They look pretty good. Some of them are black. The leaves on them are just very dark brown, kind of like this.
Microphone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really dark brown white color. But this is not their first time this happened.
This isn't their first rodeo?
No, they'll be out. They'll get out of it okay.
They'll come out of it?
Yeah. This is kind of not quite the northern limits, but pretty close. But this weather was very, might as well have been in Chicago.
Well, it went all the way.
But you remember that, don't you? Yeah.
You go down to College Station in Bryan, mm-hmm. Texas. They got down to 6 degrees there.
Whoa.
Single digits.
Good time to go sell some palm trees, huh?
Because you think about it, they're gonna lose a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got a lot of Indian hawthorn down there.
The banana trees aren't going to make it down there, are they?
The bananas, no. And this has actually had an impact on the nursery industry as well.
But it has.
Well,
a lot of these plants are grown.
They're gonna go way up. Your income is. That's what it's done.
No. But materials, though, a lot of these things are grown in Texas. A lot of our growers are down there in Texas.
Yeah.
And
it's the first time, I think, first time ever that every county in the state of Texas was below freezing. Now, you talk about all the way to the valley.
It got cold in Mexico.
Yes. And now they've had freezes in the valley before.
Yeah.
But not like this.
Not a zinger. Yeah.
This was a, they called it a zinger.
A Texas zinger.
Texas zinger. Well, so much for global warming.
But yeah, thank you.
I want to talk for the, to those guys. I talk came down about here to burn like a winter.
We're hoping for global warming at this just, point.
Then we were, though.
And here's the other thing. They, speaking of global warming, then they say, well, no, it's climate change. Okay. Well, we've had this weather before in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
It was 1899. Wasn't that the year?
It could have been.
1899 or something. So it did happen 120 years ago, they're talking about. And so...
here we're in a transition zone.
I know, we are.
The weather shifts rather quickly here from...
You can get all four seasons in one day, and I've seen it.
Exactly. And so really, as far as us experiencing global warming, it's not... it's something we don't experience here because of the shifting weather patterns.
And normally it does get warm in the summer here.
That is normal.
It does.
This
normal.
Last summer, though,
that's
it was
the only
cool.
Thing normal.
It
cool.
Never hit 100 this last summer.
Oh, we had maybe one day.
It was, oh, for a few minutes.
Perhaps, I know. Yeah. It wasn't. It was like a, it wasn't even a flesh wound.
Some old bird sat on the, some bird sat on the thermometer and made
it
go
up. It wasn't even a flesh wound. I mean.
But it's not unusual to have 100 and up to 110 degrees here.
No. Oh, yeah.
On occasion.
It's not unusual.
It hasn't happened in a long time.
It's been another 10 or 15 years since we've had one of those stretches that you just have relentless.
I remember that. It was in late 70s, early 80s.
Well, there were some in the late 90s or early 2000s. It was just relentless every day.
Day after day of 100
and then
degrees.
We even were starting football and games, 111 degrees, 110.
Yes. That's in the evening, yeah. That's crazy stuff.
So that's normal here.
It
seems we live in a region of extremes, from tornadoes.
Those are coming.
To snow, to extreme
rain. Season.
Extreme rain.
I can feel
floods,
that coming, yeah.
to drought, to heat, to cold. Anyway. In the same month, it can be 0 degrees.
All right, Larry,
and
so what can I do for all these damaged plants? Nothing?
At this point...
see Larry at the cashier stand?
Wow. Thanks.
At this point in time, just to wait and see, go ahead and do your normal trimming.
Fertilize them.
Normally doing everything
else. Let's fertilize them up.
Give it a little bit of fertilizer on your hollies. We're going to talk about that a little
bit. Oh, great.
But anyway, you do want to start cutting back your hollies and your burning bush and yopans and nandinas and all that, as you normally do. Just treat your plants like you normally do.
So get my diesel-powered hedge trimmers out and start in.
You bet. Get them out.
Chainsaws, the whole nine yards. Get it out.
Your new hedge trimmers with dual exhaust.
Twin cam.
Twin cam. And then, just do your normal trimming at this point. We'll just find out what happens. I mean, we haven't really had any consistent warm weather. The plants really haven't had that signal to wake up yet.
Wake up! Wake up!
And I think it is going to happen. It's supposed to be fairly warm coming up.
Yeah. I mean, 65 degrees.
I got to tell you, my live oaks.
This week looks really
normally
normal.
My live oaks here in the next week or two, they lose all their leaves anyway.
Yeah.
Normally, and the new ones are coming out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll have a good contribution to your firewood pile this year.
our friendly tree trimmers are going to have a good spring.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, most of the plants, the native plants here, it's just another day in the park for them. But we bring in these, what we call exotics. Even an Andina is considered an exotic plant. They're not native to the area. Some of them are going to suffer a little bit, and it's just going to be just cosmetic. The boxwoods are fine. They look a little brown, but they're fine.
Especially since I trimmed them last fall.
Yeah, but anyway.
Trim them down.
Cut them back, yeah.
Cut those things back.
But it is time for the St. Valentine's Day massacre, if you will.
That's where we just cut everything back.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm going to do it this afternoon.
You bet. Get that monkey grass cut back.
Get the lawnmower and just mow it down. That's how you do it.
Okay.
It works every time.
Sharpen the blade before you start.
Really? Yeah. No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
We'll get it. And then what I can't get, I get the weed eater out.
All right.
It's the best way.
We're going to have more coming up here on the Green Country Gardener. We'll talk about going to the lawn, going to the garden, and turbocharged tools here in just a moment after the two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. United Reynolds is an excellent place for the do-it-yourself type of person. We do a lot of post-hole diggers. We rent for the weekend. We rent a mini track hoe. They've kind of taken the place of a backhoe. You can pull them behind a three-quarter ton truck. People like to take them home, whether they're putting in water lines, they're putting in French drains, digging up tree stumps. That's one of the most common things that we rent, and they're easy to operate. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
I got a little change in my pocket, Gordon. Jingle-a-lang-a-lang. Wants to call you on the telephone, baby.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. Our phone lines are open now at 1-800-749-5936. It is 825, and Larry, we've been talking about fog, been talking about the yard and power tools and everything else. So we got some bugs coming our way? Or?
We can talk about bugs. But
let's do one thing.
I want to talk about are the good bugs.
The good bugs.
Otherwise, there's predatory insects.
Mm-hmm.
These little critters live on other insects, if you will.
Okay.
So, there are all kinds of them out there. One of which is the praying mantis, which is a really weird-looking, extraterrestrial-looking little insect.
Yeah, it's out of
this
world.
I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the praying mantis.
Mm-hmm.
Comes up and it's got these little arms. And there was one on my patio before the cold hit, and I snapped a picture of it and sent it to my daughter. And she goes, oh, cool. When she was a little tyke, we would go into the vegetable garden and we had an outbreak of praying mantis. And I said, look, Emily, these are little tiny. They're crawling up my finger, and she was just fascinated by it. So anyway, she's grown from that and other experiences. She has developed an appreciation for insect life and things. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the praying mantis has an egg sac. Or an egg cluster, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it attaches itself to various structures or concrete or stone or something. And if you remember back in school, we discussed the trilobites, the ancient prehistoric animals.
Mm-hmm.
The egg case looks an awful lot like one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So if you happen to see one of those, and they attach to the tree trunks or stones or whatever with an adhesive, I guess, of some kind. If you happen to see them, leave them alone. Those are beneficial insects.
They will be your friends.
So that's one of them. Another one is the ant lion. It's a familiar, or the doodle bug. Ant lion benefit by preying on other insects that capture ants and other crawling insects, which
accidentally fall into their circular pits.
Mm.
So anyway, they usually found in dry places under shelter and farm buildings and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The ant lions are similar to dragonflies, except they are more fragile and are feeble flyers.
Well.
So that's one that the ants kind of... Another one is the assassin bug.
Well, that's just calling it like it is, isn't it?
All these names for these insects. Well, anyway, it's an interesting insect, and you can look these up, too. Ground beetle is another one, and it looks like a harmful beetle, but it's a big black thing with these giant claws on mm-hmm. it, and it's a predatory insect. The lacewing, don't confuse it with the lace bug, but the uh-huh. lace wing
uh-huh.
is kind of like this transparent green leaves on a green insect.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of flies around, and these are harmless insects to your plants, but they are carnivorous. So you might want to, if you see one of these...
Let it go.
These flying green things flying around with transparent wings, you might want to go ahead and save, not kill that one. That's, mm-hmm. that's one you want.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Lightning bugs, actually. Lightning bugs are predaceous insects with the little blinking lights and all that. God, I remember 4th of July a couple years ago, we were at a friend's house out in the country.
Oh, boy.
And the field out there was just...
Almost alive with
lights. Alive with lightning bugs. It's amazing. So anyway, lightning bugs are... ladybugs, of course, those are predaceous insects. A little orange ladybugs with a black spot.
Mm-hmm.
See a lot of those. They eat a lot of aphids. Mantids are another one. Stink bugs. A predaceous stink bug
mm-hmm.
is another one. So there's a lot of them out there, actually, to try to keep the balance going in nature. There's a serpent fly and brachnoid parasite and all these other little things. So mm-hmm. these insects, golly, they just don't have much of a chance.
They don't.
With all these unfriendly little critters chewing on them, as well as all the insecticides and everything else. So it's a good idea not to be so sterile with your insecticides. Perhaps... if you happen to see just a few aphids here and there, and you also see some ladybugs, just kind of let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a pretty good job of keeping them under control. So be observant. Don't pull out the artillery when you see a few little aphids or something here and there.
Like they say, go in with a scalpel, not an axe.
Exactly. And try not to be so poisonous.
Yeah.
Anyway... The fruit trees also, it's time to put down some dormant oil. I mm-hmm. like to use either dormant oil. Neem oil works very well.
Uh-huh.
And I plan on spraying mine today if it'll clear up. If there's no rain. There's no rain in the forecast today, is there?
Tonight.
Oh.
50% really? Chance.
Well, then maybe do it tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow.
But I'd go with the organic method
mm-hmm.
and had very, very good bug-free fruits that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that and the spinosad work very good in conjunction with each other to help control insects.
Very good. All right.
So
we'll take a little break, and we'll be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program right here after this two-minute timeout.
True Value and Dewey always have good bargains each month. For February, for the do-it-yourself projects, check out the 37-piece DeWalt screwdriving set with case for $14.99, regularly priced at $26.99. A 34-piece DeWalt socket set, 1/4-inch and 3/8-inch drive for $29.99, regularly $44.99. And Dremel has a variable-speed 24-piece rotary toolkit at Peters for $49.99, regular price $69.99. Save on these and other great bargains at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for starting your day with K1 Morning News.
Today is gonna be a good day.
First, I want to say I love your show. I am a loyal listener.
Thank you very much for the work that you are doing.
Today is gonna be a good day.
K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
A good day!
And online at BartlesvilleRadio.com.
Open up the champagne, pop. Well, yeah, it's 8:33, and this is the Green Country Gardener Program. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936 is a toll-free call, and Dave ain't here, but Larry is, and we're talking weeds.
Weeds. There's basically two ways to control, several ways to control weeds, but right now, if you have some weeds in your yard, which a lot of people have, we had somebody come in yesterday, I want a pre-emergent to kill the weeds. Okay, fine. It's too early. He said, well, they're out already. I said, no. You don't need a pre-emergent. You need a post-emergent herbicide.
Because the ones that are out are already out.
Already out, right. and the pre-emergent works by controlling the weed seeds. So it's a bit early yet to do a pre-emergent down for things like crabgrass and some of your summer weeds and whatnot and in the beds and everything else like that. Because basically they come up in September and October.
Mm.
So you do want to, it's not really, now's not the time to do that.
Really. Nah.
So, but anyway, if you do have weeds in your yard, you want to use a post-emergent herbicide.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the form, or at this point in time, if you have Bermuda grass or zoysia grass, you can use some Roundup on the weeds that are up already. And that's probably the most effective way to control them at this point. There's other ones out there that we have several post-emergent herbicide that you can use, the Trimec or 2,4-D formulation, and there are some others out there you can use that that'll are post-emergent weed controls. We have one called Weed Beater, which has all kinds of stuff in it, and it actually lasts a long period of time too. So for pre-emergent though, coming up in another middle of March, another month and a half from now, you want to think about controlling things like crabgrass and some of your summer weeds.
Got it.
And for that, we have a prodiamine. We like prodiamine because it's very long-lasting. You don't have to apply it and reapply it and reapply it. It's a little more expensive, but then again, you don't have to reapply.
It's worth the investment.
I guess so. In the long run, you save money.
Yeah.
But anyway, there are others out there you can use. The Surflan. I like to use Surflan on my beds.
Mm-hmm.
It's very effective in controlling weeds and the shaker can, the preen, is triamine, which trifluorine, rather, which is a what the farmers, cotton farmers use.
Yes.
Triflan, what it's commonly known as. It's a good general purpose pre-emergent. And you get some pretty good effect on that. Now, you want to use more than one avenue when controlling weeds. And one is to, in your beds, perhaps have a, keep your mulch levels up to par. A good 2-inch layer of mulch does a whole lot to control weeds. With the exception, of course, of native Bermuda grass. but anyway, your annual weeds that come back every year, just a good heavy layer of mulch. Not only does it save water, make the beds look nice, but it also does a good job of controlling weeds. So there's some ways you can be proactive with weeds also. But anyway, that's coming up. The weeds that are in your yard right now, I guess you can set the cattle on it, they'll eat it up, or or if you don't have too much, you know, I've just got a few in my yard, I just go out and pull them up, and so this works, very effective, I just pull them up out of the ground. So that's kind of it with weed control, and your lawn, actually, a good method of controlling weeds is to have a good healthy turf.
Yes.
And somebody was asking me this week, well, how do I have a good, healthy turf? Well, you need to fertilize your Bermuda grass in April, May, June, July, and August. April is kind of sketchy, whether or not you really need to do it in April. Depends on the weather. Sometimes it doesn't come up till late April, 1st of May. But if it really does come up early, you do want to give it a good fertilization in April. And you start out with, say, a 10-20-10 fertilizer in the spring with your Bermuda grass. give it a little extra phosphorus like that to help the stoloniferous growth and so on in the plants. And then typically nitrogen applications are applied throughout the year. And then the last application will be another 10-20-10, 13-13-13, that kind of a thing. Even ratio fertilizer in the fall, too, to help harden off the stoloniferous growth so it can survive into the next year. So that's sort of the routine for Bermuda grass. And I like to do it on mine. I like to add fertilizer that has sulfur and iron in it because it darkens that green color.
It does. Gives it a deep, rich color.
It does. And it does help darken the chlorophyll in the leaves so it looks better. And especially on zoysia grass, if you have that, it's kind of a olive green color for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want a really deep green color in your zoysia, you can use an iron supplement on that too, and it'll help a whole lot. Iron sulfate works very well. Get out the blower when you put your iron sulfate down because it will stain the cement. Yeah, that's not good. Maybe, I don't know. If your sidewalks look like sandstone, that can be pretty cool.
Yeah, a little texture to it.
But anyway, if you do by mistake get that, some oxalic acid will take it off. So, anyway, which is kind of not really harmful kind of thing. But anyway, so that'll sort of darken the color. Now, also on your shrubs, also, fertilization should occur really, really soon. They're going to be waking up here really quick after you cut them back and give them some fertilization as well.
Good.
So it's a good idea to get it on inventory so when you have it, to apply it when it's time. Now, depending on the moisture levels in the soil, the moisture levels are real good right now. If you were to apply it, it'll get down into the root zone pretty good. You don't want to fertilize dry soil.
Not going to work well for you.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It burns your plants. Yeah. It doesn't go in deep enough. It has to disperse into the soil. It has to diffuse into the soil. It does not really just kind of go down there. It has to. The water in the soil is a mechanism by which the fertilizer goes into the soil. So it's got to be fairly moist.
They got to work together, folks.
Exactly. So you want to make sure that you've got, and right now we have some good moisture, so it'll get down into there, into the root zone where it needs to be.
We can work that dirt.
You bet. So fertilization is important. And on your hollies, too, our soil here generally runs somewhat high in pH. At the minimum, perhaps 6.5 up to even 8 in some cases. And if your hollies look kind of punk right now, if they're a little bit yellow and your Burford hollies have black spots on them and the leaves are a little bit smaller than they really should be, chances are your pH is too high and you have a deficiency in iron. Now, the deficiency in iron kind of works hand in hand with the high pH, because the root system on the plants, they have in the little root hairs, they have what they call an active transport system. And the chemistry involved in that is they draw up nutrients only when the soil pH is correct. So if your pH is too high, that's one reason why they can't draw up nutrients. Tomatoes have that problem too when it's cold. The leaves on them turn this purplish color and they can't take up phosphorus when it's that way.
Very good.
Anyway, we got a caller.
Let's go. Hi, good morning, and welcome. You are on with the Green Country Gardener this morning. Your question.
I treated my lawn for poana last fall.
Yes.
Do I need to do anything this spring?
Only if you have the presence of poa annua in your yard at this point in time.
Okay.
If you do have some poa annua, you do want to do a spot treatment to control it prior to the emergence of seeds on the leaves. Probably sometime in the next 2 hours or so, they will put on some in other words, they're quick. They will put on some seeds. So as soon as you see it, you want to control it as much as possible.
And control it with?
The glyphosate or Roundup
is
the best way to do that at this point.
All right. Thanks for the tip.
You bet.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
And we're going to have adequate temperatures this afternoon for that to happen. However, it is you guys are wanting it to rain this afternoon or night or something. So
after 9.
You've got. I'll set my watch.
There you go. Didn't say when after 9. You said after 9.
Okay. So, yeah, but it is rain fast after a fairly short period of time, and also. A lot of these leaves, weeds, when they come up, the leaves are kind of hairy on them, too. And that does a very good job of repelling water. It's kind of a defense mechanism. So you do want to counteract that. Observe how your herbicide is working on the leaf. Make sure the leaves are really wet and the water droplets don't bounce off.
Got it. All right, we're going to have more coming up here on the Green Country Gardener Program in just a moment after this two-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey del Burrito Express, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, Speedy Drinks, and KFC, all in Bartlesville. CV's in Dewey and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
Now's the time to buy a pre-owned vehicle at Roman Chevrolet Buick, your Silverado City dealer in Independence. Right now, Roman's has several 2020 executive vehicles with payments starting as low as $99 a month. Check out the 2017 Chevy Malibu Hybrid, sale price at just $13,640. They've got a pre-owned 2002 Chevy Silverado 1500 LS, yours for as low as $86.94. Visit RomansGM.com or stop by 2313 West Main in Independence. Roman's delivers nationwide.
Get the news you need on your way home. K1 News Drive at 5.
I listen for clarity, and I hear you every day.
With Garrett Giles, sports with Max Gross.
Play ball!
Clear, concise, and award-winning.
Appreciate all that you do, and I just wanted to tell you, you do an awesome job.
The News Drive at 5. Weekdays at 5 p.m. on K1, the one you trust. And we're back with the Green Country Gardener Program, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. We're not talking grapevines yet, Darian.
No, not really. On these weeds when you spray them.
Yeah.
Well, like we mentioned earlier, observe how well it's the herbicide is adhering to the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And if it tends to be repelling it away.
Kind
it happens a lot with
bubble.
Hard water. The water tends to not really stick to the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And for that case, we use a surfactant with the herbicide.
Okay.
And a lot of them already have that incorporated into it. Glyphosate, I think the Roundup typically has that incorporated into it, but some of the off-brands might not have it in there. So you want to either look at the ingredients and see if it's in there, and if not, you want to consider, in conjunction to getting your herbicides, getting a surfactant. It makes the chemicals work so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't take so much of it, also, when you do that. Because
It's great for efficiency.
Yeah. Now, after I put some in mine when I do some spraying now. I don't do a lot of it because I don't have much of a weed problem nonetheless. And you look back behind after you've done that, and you look and you look at the leaves themselves, and they should the leaves should be noticeably darker in color after the spray is applied to know that you have good adhesion or good sticky to the leaves, if you will. The surfactants do that. So anyway, So look at the ingredients on the label and see if there is a surfactant in it. Most of them do have it, but it's just enough to get by. And so it might not be quite enough.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have to ask. It's just a good idea. And we do that at the nursery. When we use even our insecticides, we use a surfactant with it.
And just to make sure.
It's much more effective that way. Yeah. So get that also with it, and it helps. Okay. Let's see. Perennial of the week is lavender.
The lavender.
The lavender plant. Yeah. Anyway, the lavender is native to the Mediterranean.
It is.
And
its
genus name is from the Latin lavare. Lavare means to wash. Spanish use this word to lava las ropas, lava los manos, wash the hands.
Lavatory.
And that's okay. You're trying to knock me off course here, aren't you? But anyway, the ancient Greeks used to take a bath in lavender.
Oh, they did?
So imagine, people were smelly back then, I would think.
Oh.
Ugh, golly. But anyway,
Anyway, it was
used
to,
in the Middle Ages, they used it as a stewing herb to mask household smells and the stinking streets and for insect repellent properties and all that. So back then, they really needed something.
They didn't have a can of Glade handy. You know?
Anyway, it's a member of the Laminaceae family or the mint family. Yeah. The leaves are opposite and whorled, usually entire, the linear lanceate, white tomatose, square stems, which is typical of the mint family. I look at any a plant that has a squares. In other words, it looks like a 4x4, the stem. And that's the square stem, which is characteristic of that. And that's a characteristic carried through the mint family all the way from coleus to thyme and other things that have, and salvia and so on. It has a square stem. So anyway, remember that family. And it has purple flowers and 6 to 10-inch spikes in midsummer, and it, the flowers are somewhat aromatic. Now, the lavender is a perennial growing in zones 5 to 9. It prefers full sun and well-drained soil. So, this plant, I planted one, experimented with at the house, planted it, didn't water it all. It's a beautiful plant all summer long. Then we had some rain, and it just kind of rotted. So this one you want to use in, say, xerographic landscape, where you really don't want to water a whole lot of stuff. This in conjunction maybe with rosemary. They sort of go well together, if you will. And it makes a very welcome addition to the landscape, and you can cut it and bring it into the house. It smells good.
Very good.
So lavender. There's angustifolia, which is a true English lavender. It gets about 2 feet tall with lilac flowers and silver leaves. This is the one with which we are all familiar. And then there's Canarensis, which is a Canary Island lavender. It's more fern-like leaves. We've carried this in the past. We might have some this year. The leaves look completely different, but they still have the characteristic smell, but slightly turpentine scent. No, it won't explode.
Good.
It just smells like it. And then there's the Spanish-type lavender, also known as dentata, which is a fringed lavender. It's got the finely toothed leaves with a strong resin odor. So it's fragrant, very fragrant flowers with light purple leaves. Anyway, there's a lot of them out there. But the ones people are familiar with is the English lavender. And that's the one that's most common, and we sell a lot of that. You guys have some right now, by chance.
Very good.
And also at the nursery, we can talk about plants that are available right now.
Let's do that.
They're the Lenten Rose. We have those out right now. They took... they're pretty hardy, but they took a little bit of a hit in this cold spell.
A lot of plants did.
But I think we're going to still have a good positive appearance.
Okay.
With the hellebores or the Lenten Rose this year. Very nice looking perennials. That, and we got just all kinds of herbs available right now too, and all kinds of cool stuff.
Great.
So it's that time of year to think about getting that stuff in the ground, getting that ground ready. I know it's a little difficult right now. We did some digging in the ground yesterday, and it's wet.
Just a teens.
So it's a little hard to kind of do some management in the yard. So you might want to let it dry out a little bit before you get really serious with the ground prep in your landscape. Let it dry out a little bit. I know with our weather here, typically it will get a little drier. And actually, we are anticipating a slightly warmer than normal March and April. So I don't know what the prognostication is for May, but it'll probably rain like crazy in May.
with a slight chance of tornadic activity.
Right. Okay, so anyway. In your vegetable gardens, time to plant onions and taters or radishes and other cool season crops. Time to start those tomato seeds in the house. I use just regular old potting soil. The BM1 we have there works very well to start seeds in. It's kind of a sterile kind of thing, so you don't get a problem with fungal damping off as much as you would if you were to use, say, another typical potting soil that might be a little heavier in texture. You want something that's, when you take the bag in, like the Charmin guy, you know? You remember those?
Yeah.
If it's squeezably soft, then chances are it's a really good potting soil for starting seeds. So that's coming up right now also. We talked about putting zinc sulfate on your pecans last week. There's still time to do that, and that does help them fight off some diseases and things too.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program after this 3-minute timeout.
Frank Phillips, the old man with barbed wire nerves and the courage of a wolf, didn't realize his own capacity to love until after the death of his dear wife Jane in 1948. He no longer heard her laughter in the mansion in town, nor enjoyed the long drives out to his beloved Willa Rock, where they would often go to share an evening dinner. After her death, he found himself waking to the cold reality of her absence and confided to others that his soul ached. More and more of Frank's time was being spent at the ranch, sitting on the front porch of the lodge and enjoying the magnificent view and likely reflecting back on an incredible life of personal and professional accomplishments. However, without his wife in the chair next to him, these simple joys became shallow to Uncle Frank. After her death, those around Frank soon discovered that he had one desire, and that was to build a mausoleum at Willa Rock to serve as a final resting place for Jane and himself. He had picked out the spot years before, a favorite spot that overlooked one of the beautiful lakes that dotted the grounds of the ranch. Inspired by the memorial built for his good friend Will Rogers in Claremore, the mausoleum soon became the primary focus of Frank's life. Once construction started on the mausoleum in 1949, he personally came out every day to see how work was progressing. Frank wanted it within walking distance of the lodge, yet not directly in the public eye, which is why he chose the site above Elk Lake, one of his favorite fishing holes at Willa Rock. Built of native stone with no cut edges, the tomb appeared to spring from the side of the hill as if it was part of the terrain. Workmen blasted through 18 feet of solid rock to form the burial chamber, and the 24-square-foot room was lined with a 12-inch steel-reinforced concrete wall. The chamber was air-conditioned, and a telephone was installed. Inside the mausoleum is a circular rotunda outlined by 8 columns of St. Cecilia marble imported from Italy, which rises 10 feet to a dome. The walls are covered with thousands of mosaic tiles, and in the center of the room is an 8-pointed star formed by the different shades of marble. Construction took about a year, and as soon as it was completed, Frank had Jane's casket brought from White Rose Cemetery, and a memorial service was held at the new mausoleum. To his friends and staff, Mr. Phillips seemed happier than at any time in recent years. His final work was completed, and he could return to the porch of the lodge, which he did until his death on August 23, 1950. The magic of Willa Rock is a story worth sharing, and it can be found everywhere at this national treasure. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willa Rock.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM
93.3. Here we go.
Yep, we're back. It is the Green Country Gardener Program. 8:55 is our time, and it's still rather foggy, not as bad as it was a little bit ago.
You can see a block away now.
Yeah,
a full block. Shovel back in the truck and make my way home, buddy.
Phone lines open at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass, our expert here today, and as he is each and every day, been here for what, almost 20 years every Saturday keeping you
bet.
Company.
Anyway, freezing on your irrigation systems.
Ooh,
in winter. We have the code calls for an above ground backflow preventer, and those can get damaged. Even though you might have drained them, they can still get damaged a little bit. So it's a good idea. Now that it's going to get warm a little bit, just go turn it on and do a little bit of an investigation on the nature of your sprinkler system. We had a little bit of damage at the nursery, and it turned out it was a pipe that was 2 feet underground.
Ooh!
And somebody ran into the pipe, broke it.
Yikes!
That's the only problem we've had so far with ours at the nursery. So, but anyway, you just want to check it out and see. And I've got a few of them this week. I'm going to charge up early, just to look at it and inspect it and make some recommendations. I went out yesterday afternoon. Somebody had a drain valve that was very shallow in the ground, and they had moved into the house and weren't really indoctrinated as to what to do with this thing. And the drain valve froze, and 1 inch of water, you know, that's a lot of water going down the hill.
That's a lot, yes.
So anyway, you want to go ahead and charge it up at this point and run through it maybe and look for some damage. You'll be surprised that perhaps there is some here and there. Now and then a pipe will get a little shallow, or some erosion will wash the soil away and get the pipe a little shallow, and it might cause a problem. Typically, irrigation systems, though, do have what we call automatic drain valves, which drain the water out of the system so you don't have that problem in the winter. So
good.
Now, also, the sprinkler heads themselves, a lot of times the water will stay in them a little bit, and it might crack the case on them, so you might lose a few heads here and there. But my advice is just like getting your mower up and ready for the, go ahead and get your irrigation system checked out, and either have us do it or have somebody else do it or do it yourself. Turn it on and inventory the problems, because I think there's going to be some problems this year.
Oh yes.
Because so we have one circuit at the nursery that is partially blocked.
It's still
frozen. Yes. It's on the north side of the shade house where it doesn't get any sunshine. The wind was blowing over there. And we have those down a good a foot and a half, 2 feet deep, those lines over there. Because we didn't want to mess around with damage. But it looks like it got down pretty deep this year. So it's a good idea to check that out. And when we do new installations now, we're using high density polyethylene. And the freeze doesn't hurt it. So if you did have an extensive damage and you want to redo your system, you might consider doing something like that rather than PVC, because it does have the flexibility to not get damaged in the cold.
Yes, indeed.
So anyway, come by the nursery, check it out. We've got some new tropicals in.
Yes.
Our color pots are up there, the geranium pots. We got those growing up front and soaking up that sunshine, just growing, waiting for spring.
Just popping away.
Yeah, you bet. So we've got some perennials out front, too, that you can plant right now. So it's a good time to maybe think about doing that in the garden, checking those out. Yeah, I'm watching the clock, too.
Yeah. You still got the chimes?
And, the fertilizers, the wind chimes, still got those. Jangling in the wind, still got some of those. And they sound really good. They're harmonious, if you will. And all kinds of new pots and novelties and other kind of cool stuff.
Tell people where they can find you.
We're halfway between Madison Boulevard and Washington Boulevard and Millwater Road, south side of the road. Big old sign says Green Thumb.
Right there in Bartlesville.
Bartlesville, Oklahoma, you bet.
Yeah, America.
Anyway, Tom, good talking to you this week. Yeah. Had a good show. Keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Larry, as always. And, folks, stay tuned. We've got your network news coming up in just a little bit, followed by your local news and more fun on the way.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K2.